I'm John Travis, and I'm with Doug Hahn, who I've had the opportunity to work with and together for many, many, many years. And he works as a project manager and engineer on our millwork side in our millwork division. And I've got Doug across from me and get an opportunity to talk to him about how he got into this business and his experiences. So, Doug, welcome.
Howdy.
Well, why don't we start with tell me about your background. How'd you grow up, your family? What was it like? Where'd you live?
Growing up, Omaha, Nebraska. Lived there till 2000. Was born, raised, going to Catholic schools. Eventually, my sophomore year of high school, I was deemed not suitable to play with other kids and was asked not to return to Catholic high school. Basically, grew up kind of just playing and doing all the fun stuff kids do. Got into skateboarding and punk rock music. Spent every waking moment that I had skateboarding. And going to concerts for, you know, it didn't matter who was playing. I'd go see any show because my buddies were the ones putting it on. And so we'd get into free for most of them. Or then I got into bands and played in bands for a long, long time. Wound up, kind of getting out of playing in bands because of, getting into too much trouble with drugs and whatnot. So it was fun. Eventually, the skateboarding, I was building skateboard ramps, kind of anywhere where somebody needed one. My parents' house was littered with them. Finally, asked them if I could build a half pipe in the backyard, and I was told yes. I did not tell them that that involved cutting down a tree in the backyard, which my mom cried, and she will probably still cry if I bring it up to this day.
How big was the half pipe?
If I remember, it was about 32 feet wide, 12 feet tall, and I can't remember how long, however long we could fit in the backyard.
So you essentially built a half pipe in your parents' backyard that encompassed the entirety of the backyard.
Pretty much, yeah. And
they did not know or see the plans prior to approving said half pipe?
No, and nor did they ever ask where we got the wood for it, because we were broke. And it's a long walk stealing sheets of plywood from job sites. It was a good thing though, because it kept everybody had a place to go. So everybody knew that, you know, where their son was or where their daughter was. They were in Doug's backyard. So it was actually kind of a good thing. The city didn't think so, and we didn't have a building permit for it and made us tear it down. So
how long was it up?
Right around a year, something like that.
Do you have to, now I'm curious. So do you have like a 12-foot stepladder to climb up there?
You
built stairs?
We had a ladder on the back, yeah.
And like a little ledge, like when I watched the Winter Olympics?
Everybody stand up there and, hang out and wait for their turn. You know, when somebody ate crap and split their head open, then it was your turn. So get off the ramp and it's mine. Let me go. So we didn't have helmets. We did wear knee pads.
Were there any ambulances that were called to Doug's
house? No, not that. Not with that. No, nothing. Nothing that tragic. So.
So in building the half pipe, is that where you came to love construction and wood and building? How'd you get into that?
I got good with it, and I actually was just brought up the other day. My first project with wood was the Pinewood Derby in Cub Scouts. And so that was kind of the first thing I ever did. And I won the Pinewood Derby with my car. And then I wouldn't say I had a love for doing stuff with wood, but people needed ramps built, and I would build them. And so went to my mom was an interior decorator and designer for a custom home builder, and she met the cabinet guy one day, and he asked her if she knew anybody that needed a job, and she said, "Well, my son does." So I think I was 15 then, and right when I turned 16, I went to work for him. I was going there after school, and by the time I graduated high school, I was running the shop for him there, you know, I'd come in after school and work late at night. After transferring from Catholic high school to public school, I didn't really have to do homework because it was already stuff I'd already covered a couple years ago in the public school. So I had time to work. So
for him, if you're running the shop at 18, how many guys were you engineering all the cabinets?
So he would do most of the layout, but we would build it. I kind of had an old fashioned apprenticeship where it was he and I for most of it, and he taught me everything. And we, you know, started out making roll top desks and that kind of stuff. So, but it was hands on everything. It was build it, deliver it, install it. You know, little bit of everything. So
when you graduated, did you keep working for him or what did you do?
Yeah. So I took the woods class in high school, which I don't know if most of them don't have that shop, any longer, but I was, taking woods class, and Screwy Louie, Larry Lewandowski was our teacher. And he loved me because, he knew what I was doing and where I was working. And so I would bring cabinets in that we'd already pretty much pre-cut all the parts, and we would assemble them in the class. I had a buddy of mine who was working with me at the cabinet shop also. So we'd bring him in, and he would pretty much, after that, he would just sit in his office, and if somebody needed, you know, a blade changed or, you know, a bandage for their finger because they cut it off or something like that, he'd just get dug. So I would do, and I did eventually wind up going to school to be an EMT, and I am certified EMT. I didn't pursue that because I really didn't want to, after what I saw when I was in the emergency room, you had to do several hours of service in the emergency rooms. And I did not want to see that every day, so I kept on with the woodworking.
Did you keep working for him then for a period of time, or
yeah,
what did you do after that?
I worked for him for several years, and then I'd say about the time I was 23 or 24, I went to work for a couple different other shops.
That was residential where you started. Did you end up?
Mainly residential, and then some of the bigger shops that I went to, they would dabble with in commercial as well, and that's where I first got my first taste of, you know, the robots cutting beam saws and that kind of stuff. And so I was running a couple of those at different places as well.
How'd you end up in San Antonio?
Met a woman. She was working with a kind of a credit card processing company, but she was a computer programmer, and she took a job with AT&T, Southwestern Bell back then, and she thought it would be cool. So I said, let's do it. So we moved to San Antonio and kind of, you know, got planted here, and, you know, if we were together for a number of years, and eventually she and I split up, and went our separate ways. And I decided I wasn't moving anywhere because of you, John. I was happy with this, and I've always said if I didn't work for you, I'd move somewhere else, and that's the truth.
Well, thank you. I will say it's a lot warmer here than in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yes, yes.
I remember when I first met you, so tell me about that. But one thing I do clearly remember when I first met you is, and I tell this story, it was like 30-something degrees outside, and I had like three jackets on, a sweater, you know, undergarments, you name it, and you were walking around in a T-shirt that I think was a punk rock band or something.
I don't know what the band of the day is, but you probably don't know this, but every day
you have a different one.
It's a Pennywise shirt is what's on today. That. So, but yeah.
Well, how did we meet? We met in 2003.
Something right there. Yep.
Answered an ad in the paper, and so when you and I first met, I think there was what, three people in the millwork department?
Four or five, I think. And yeah, it was small. And yeah, Angie called you up and interrogated you, and so I came and met you and decided, okay, let's go to work here and see what happens. And when you hired me as a supervisor, and I remember I went out to the shop and there was these guys, and they didn't know me or care about me, and I learned real fast that you had not told them that you hired me as a supervisor. And so when I brought that up, then they all kind of blew up head gaskets, and were not happy about that. And then finally they realized, yeah, he got hired as a supervisor. So, because everybody was going their different ways and doing different things. And so I started to automate things and, you're doing this, you're doing that, and this is what you're doing every day. And, I would go measure the jobs. I would sit down out in my truck, and I would draw up cut lists. And I had somewhere in the back of my head, I still have a formula for, I can tell you every single part for a cabinet. Just give me the size, and I can tell you what this part is. And so I would sit and do these cut lists and give them to Renee, and Renee would cut them, and it was all from there. In the early days, when we were doing that, like it would be Thanksgiving or Christmas, and I'm sitting back in Omaha, Nebraska, with 3 feet of snow on the ground, and I'm sitting there writing up these cut lists, and then going to my dad's office and faxing them to you over the holidays.
I'm so sorry. So that is totally how it went down.
It was totally how that went down.
I can tell your handwriting like anywhere. Had all those parts in there. We did that for what, 3-4 years till we got a CNC. In 2006.
Yeah.
But I do remember when your wife at the time had called, and I remember thinking, are you applying for the job? Or are you calling on behalf of somebody? And since then, that's not an uncommon occurrence.
Really?
Not all the time, but often you'll have a wife or a relationship that will call on behalf. And anyway, that was the first time that happened to me. But you're right. And when we started, literally it was the garage, wasn't it? It was the garage over there where we were on Warfield. No, it wasn't Warfield.
Rhapsody,
that's right.
Cocoa Beach right there.
Oh, it was Valiant.
Valiant.
Yeah, yep. It was a garage back in Valiant. We had a table saw, which was a big deal, and I think we had a bandsaw. That was about it.
Yep.
We got a Bloom hinge machine.
Yep.
Actually, back then, I think it was the, may have been a Bloom one. Yeah.
But, yeah, I think so.
How is it different now, 20-some years later almost, from when we started in the garage and you were making cut lists the truck or while there's 3 feet of snow?
So it is completely different. you know, the going from the garage, then we moved to a bigger garage, and we thought, oh yeah, this is awesome. You know,
that's
we
true.
Got tons
that was
of
Moorfield.
Room. Yeah. Yeah, we got tons of room, and then that just didn't last long.
Then we went to Turbo.
To Turbo, and I remember, you know, I'd go pick up sheets of plywood, and I would drive my truck inside the warehouse there to the back where the edge bander and saws were. You know, I thought, oh, this is awesome. And then that thing got filled up, and which was hard to believe. And then here we are in at 235, and it's even better, but it's getting filled up. So,
so we went from 2,000 square feet to 4,000 square feet to 18,000 square feet to 37,000 square feet to 67 plus Austin's another 20 some, so almost 90,000 square feet. It is crazy when you look back at that, and technology is very different. Yeah. You know, back then it was such a big deal too to get the first robot and get all that operating, and now there's four or five, whatever they are, six.
Yeah.
CNC operated deals around here, and it is very different.
Yeah.
What have you enjoyed most in that journey?
Well, I suppose, you know, I guess I've kind of played every role from, you know, builder, installer, all the way project manager. You know, when I started, I couldn't even type. So, you know, AutoCAD was never even a thought in my head. I would draw everything by hand. So I picked up AutoCAD fairly decently. I'm not nearly as fast as everybody else that's, you know, trained for it. But kind of pick it up here and there and learn new stuff when I can. So I've enjoyed that part. I do enjoy getting out and managing jobs and seeing the, you know, the supervisors, the other project managers for the projects and interacting with them. I guess I'm kind of a people person. You know, I like to BS with people when I can, and then, you know, it's time to get this done, and I like to help and solve their problems and figure it out, even though, you know, it's stressful. You know, but I do enjoy that quite a bit. You know, I like making cool stuff. So
I would share those. I think just my observation, I think you enjoy being around people. I think you enjoy working with people. I think that you definitely enjoy building stuff, whether it's skateboard ramps at 15 or, you know, these huge projects that we have an opportunity to be a part of today. I also think you enjoy solving puzzles. And I think some of these, especially more complicated projects, but any project has an aspect where we got to say, okay, this is where we want to end up. How are we going to bust it into pieces and get from here to there? And I do find in you an enjoyment in solving puzzles.
Yeah.
You know, some of the more challenging ones, you know, your brain works, you know, very uniquely and well and fast at figuring out a lot of that.
I would agree with that. You know, I'll do stuff and thinking there's no way that this can be done, and then I'll figure out a way to do it. And, you know, sometimes somebody will recognize it, but a lot of times nobody does.
Nobody
and I'll
knows.
I'll figure out some cool way, and secretly I'm patting myself on the back going, that was badass, you know. So yeah, I enjoy that. I do.
I also have told you and others on many occasion that if I ever needed the phone a friend for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, for the Keeper of Odd Knowledge, you would be the one I would call, because you just have all kinds of facts and arcane data in your mind. And it wouldn't shock me, actually, at this moment, if you could remember a measurement from probably like 1993.
They haunt me in my sleep. I'll wake up and I'll be like, that's how long that wall was, 138 and 7/16. And it's like, and I'll remember that kind of stuff, and I don't know why.
What do you like best about your role here?
I like helping. I think that's something that makes me feel good. I like it when things work and go smoothly, because you know when it goes south, that's no fun, and then the phone calls happen. And,
stressful.
Yeah. So when it's done and done right, then it's rewarding for sure.
Looking back now over your career, 30 some years plus now, for some, as we end here, 15, 16 year old guy or gal that's out making skateboard ramps and thinking about what they want to do in life, anything you might say to that young man or woman who's thinking about construction or architectural millwork? Any advice you might give?
I would say, if you're not interested in it, then don't even think about it.
You don't have a passion.
But, yeah, but you know, if it's something that you think in the back of your head you'd be interested in, then yeah, pursue it. You know, they always say, you know, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. Well, I love what I do, and I have, and I think when some people say they were born to do this, and I guess maybe I was born to do this because I don't know how to do anything else. So you know, I think this is it. So, you know, mom and dad always said, you know, if you find something you like to do and be the best at it, you know. So, you know, I was, you know, take that to heart, and I try to be the best at what I do. That doesn't include, you know, I was really, really good at drinking beer, and I enjoyed it. And that got me into a lot of trouble over years and years and years of that. But that was a reward at the end of the day was, you know, was it's time for beers, time to celebrate and wake up tomorrow and do it over again. So it became a problem, and as you know, I think it was right at 6 months ago was the last time I touched it, and I don't intend on going back. So you can get in trouble with that public service message there. But yeah, if you enjoy it, then pursue it. Pay attention to detail. See things differently, and appreciate when you do see something that other people may not notice.
You've also been in this business 30 some years. If you could go back in time to you when you were getting started, what would you tell yourself? Any other encouragement you might give yourself, or words of wisdom?
I don't know. That's a good question. You know, would I change anything? I don't know.
Probably not.
Probably not, because here I am. This is how I got here. And if I change one thing,
what would the rest be?
What would the rest be? So, I don't know that I could offer myself any advice. You know, I would say don't drink, but if I wouldn't have drank, I wouldn't have met my ex. I wouldn't be here.
Sure.
You know, I met her at a bar. So, you know, that kind of stuff.
As you look out over the next year here in this work, in this role, what are things that you're concentrating on?
I would have to say, one, doing it, trying to do everything right as I always do. I try my darndest to get it right. I think improving relationships. I know that we, you know, talked about gaining trust back. So that's something that's big, big with me. Open to helping anybody, which is still a struggle. If somebody needs something, you know, I try to help, but I'm not over enthusiastic about it. And so trying to become more enthusiastic about helping other people with their, even though I've got this going on, that's all right. I need to help with solve these other problems too.
Well, thank you for the last 20 some years, and look forward to this year and the ones to come.
Halloween will be 19 years.
19 years, almost 20. Years,
almost 20. Yep.
Thank you, Doug.
All right, thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you would like to listen to more of our episodes, please go to our website at traviscompanies.com/podcasts. We release a new episode each and every week. This next week, we're going to be talking about our history from 1886 to today and going over how it all started five generations ago up through my great-grandfather, the generation before me, to where we are today. We're very grateful. We hope you'll tune in, and thank you for listening.